What's it called again, this podcast? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening from. This is Matushka's Right Peg, Andrik's Kung Fu Kick, Cruz's, well, he's got a great peg, but he's going to be out for 8 weeks. Anyway, we're back in the podcast studio. I'm hosting from Portugal. We have Kyle hailing from Scotland as usual. Mark is propping us up in Berlin on the ground. And Cherry, as usual, is joining from England. So without further ado, we started the podcast after a crushing defeat by our lovely neighbours. And we do so again in a way, maybe not a crushing defeat, but a defeat nonetheless. We lick our wounds, we march on with the podcast, and we try and dissect what happened. We were off to a pretty bright start, but Cherry, where did it all go wrong?
I think that one's obvious, Mark. You're just setting me up for that, aren't you? Well, it all started quite brightly, as you said. First 20 minutes, kept them on the back foot, pressed them. First 90 seconds, it was quite clear what Andrik's intentions were for the night, going straight through the back of Guendouzi, which was funny at the time, but doesn't look so funny now. And yeah, I mean, the sending off was stupid. It changed the game. I wouldn't say we were dominating up until that point, but we were certainly in control, got the goal. A lovely scuffed finish from Awoniyi again, which seems to be a bit of a specialty for him. Yeah, we looked good up until that point. We pressed them really high. We won the ball back. They really couldn't get into the game. And then even after the sending off, you look at it and you think, I mean, the reaction on Twitter at halftime from both sets of fans just said everything, that they weren't offering enough. We looked comfortable even with the disadvantage. So the second half started again quite brightly, and we thought we might at least nick a point from it. But there was always that nagging little feeling that if they did get one goal, the floodgates would then open. And I think that's what happened. Slightly unlucky for a couple of the goals, but I don't think we can have any complaints about the result on the basis of that second half performance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, maybe lazy to pick on individuals. I think there's lots of instances where we could go through, bit of naivety in going a man down, different mistakes from different people. But we can take a look at some of those. But I said after the game, we lose as a team and we win as a team, and I kind of stand by that. I think as a team performance, even after the 10 men, it wasn't good enough after the break. Mark, what was your verdict of last Friday's proceedings?
Well, I think you said crushing defeat there, Mark, right at the beginning, and it was more of a mentally crushing defeat, I think, this time. It was an annoying defeat. I think there was so much more there. There was so much more potential this time. I don't think that it can be argued that the 4-0 last year we were set up wrong. I think last year the tactics didn't come off at all. In the same fixture last year, and this year, this season, the game last week, we were very, very tight and everything, and played consistently. Really did very well. Huge effort from everyone involved. I don't think you can say anything against the effort. We did. We tried our very, very best. I mean, playing 67 minutes, I think it was ultimately, plus injury time with only 10 men. I mean, that's a huge effort for any team to go through. And of course, possibly the worst thing, in addition to, as Cherry said, the avoidable goals, I think, was of course in the last minute that the talismanic Cruiser did his thigh muscle and is set to be out for 8 weeks, and that's a conservative estimate as far as I'm concerned. He may be very optimistic about it, but you know, age plays a factor, rehabilitation plays a factor. I think 8 weeks is looking optimistic, to be quite honest. As you say, though, Cherry, have no complaints with the result itself. Hertha did, on the balance of everything, given the game, deserve it ultimately. And we've got to pick ourselves up and go against Bayern again.
Yeah, we'll come on to the next four fixtures in a pretty short space of time. Kyle, what was your verdict?
It's a great start and a game that on maybe the first 20 minutes, I thought we really should have came away with something. But of course, Andrich impersonating, be it Nubel last season or just the Bundesliga logo in general, idiotic. What can you say? From there, we were defensively solid and the boys did give like a good effort, but some poor mistakes and goal really sort of changed the game, because it was like it was mentioned earlier, once one went in, then floodgates were going to open. But Luther, with the ball at feet, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, he just kicked it straight to them. And then he nearly got caught in the ball not a couple of minutes later as well. It's a bit alarming and really something that if you get caught out once for a mistake, okay, fair enough. But to continue to do it, it's a bit dangerous, I thought. And maybe it's time to kind of look at Karius. Like, he's not... Luther maybe hasn't done something to lose the jersey up until this point, but we've got a goalie there who's played in a Champions League final, and yeah, of course, he's infamous for what happened in that Champions League final, but the guy was concussed, so I wouldn't exactly take my opinions on him on the performance of that game and more look at, well, he was considered a keeper that was good enough to play in that game, so he's someone that we should have a look at and see, can he bring something to the team? And maybe he's, as a shot stopper, he's more in the guise of Gikovic than Luther is. I guess we need to see if Bayern is the best game to throw a new keeper into.
Yeah, I think that was going to be my kind of question. When you look at the fixtures, do you want to put a keeper in and his first game be Bayern? But then is it also a game where there's no expectation, so there's no real damage, but he would certainly have a lot to do. And does that risk maybe an error and maybe not the best start? And if he's a confidence player, is this the right time to be swapping your goalkeepers? And does it run against kind of that idea of the team aspect? Fully take on board the kicking aspect, but at the end of the day, someone pinged a 30-metre back pass to the guy. I don't think we kept the ball as well in the opening 5 or 6 minutes of that second half. And certainly the keeper was under a reasonable amount of pressure. Mark, what's your thoughts on the goalkeeping situation right now?
Well, as podcast listeners will know, I'm a member of the goalkeeping community, and I know that in the chat, in the WhatsApp chat, I wasn't exactly too friendly about Luther's performance. Reflecting on it, though, I think, like you said right at the beginning, like that we win and we lose as a team and everything, and all three of those goals were not solely Luther to blame there. It's the same as anything. If someone scores a blinding goal, then it can be all down to them. But if you concede a goal like the first goal, sure, he palmed it off not as well as he should have done. Should have. If you look at the slow motion replay, I noticed about this on the feed. He palmed it, and then you can see a split second where he looked up and His eyes opened wide when he saw Pekarik coming in. It's like he wasn't expecting Pekarik to be there, but he was also expecting one of our players to be there as well. So, you know, he was free, the Hertha player there for the first goal. The second goal, as you say, ping ball, 30-yard back pass and everything, never the easiest. He did make a bit of a balls of it, of course, but then he got up. Then again, you regroup and everything, and you try and fight to get the ball back. Third goal, I don't think he had a chance with. So, yeah, now Fischer has a choice. One thing I would say is that, like, if, for example, we had Busk as our second goalkeeper, or even Moser as our second goalkeeper, then you'd say, but you see, Luther is like a step up from those two, so you keep him in regardless against Bayern, regardless of the form he's in. But, you know, if we have a player like Karius at our disposal, and we do, and he's training well, then why on earth not use him? That would only be to our benefit, I think. And let's not forget as well that Karius's game when he came of age as a Bundesliga goalkeeper was against Bayern, where he had one of his best ever games. So I don't think he's going to be fearing Bayern in any way, shape or form. This is no young greenhorn. This is, as Kyle said, a guy with Champions League experience. Let's see. I still think Luther might still play next weekend, you know? We'll see against Bayern anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to defend Luther here, because I've not seen enough to say that a dropping him would be warranted, even on Friday night. When you look at, as Mark mentioned there, the first goal especially, you've got, I think it was Piontek who was covered, and Lenz has gone in and he's been dragged in and pulled across to mark him, even though there was no need to. And he's let their right back come in unmarked to slot home. And as you said, I think Luther was expecting that when he did parry that ball out wide, there would be someone there to mop it up. You could say they could have pushed it wider, but I don't think he could have done an awful lot more in that situation. The first goal there is, I think it is a case of Lenz has got distracted. He's drifted inside and he's left his man unmarked to finish it. The other two goals, I don't think he could have done much about those either. You watch them back and there's crosses haven't been stopped. There's men left unmarked in the penalty box allowed to get a shot off. These sort of things shouldn't be happening. And when you do look back at the goals we conceded, like last week, the three at home against Frankfurt, again, there was some dubious defending in the lead up to that. So for a defence as well that seems to be quite comfortable with him, we've got a few clean sheets that we've picked up this season. It would be a big risk to bring him in now at this stage of the season, to bring Karius in, as you said as well, with Bayern and Dortmund coming up. There's no real wind to break now to readjust and try and sort of ease him in a little bit. So whenever he does get that first game, it's going to be, you know, a bit of a baptism of fire for him. I've got no qualms about bringing Karius in. I think he would do a good job. I just don't think Luther's done enough to lose his spot just yet.
One thing that played a part in the derby was substitutions, for sure. The goal scorers show that. Did Union make the best use of their substitutions? Were they timely enough? Did we actually keep Kruse on for too long? I mean, there was a stage in the game, I think, when we were having a chat, thinking, okay, would he be the person you maybe do bring off and bring on someone with bit of pace, bit of power, who can run from deep, maybe create a different option for us? So we said about the tactics last time that we maybe set up wrong, and this time we for sure set up right. But how was the in-game management for you all?
The first substitution should have been made at halftime. That's the only thing that I could accuse Fisher of maybe being a bit naive about. I think I said, take Awoniyi off, because like Cherry said in the chat, he's a big unit up front, and he gives an outlet, which could be useful, especially when you're pumping balls up, you're a man down. But I don't think he did enough towards the end of the first half. And given that, I would have put Griesbeck on instead of him, and kept it tight at half-time. And even the guy on DAZN, he was saying Fisher was annoyed because he knew that he should have made the change at half-time, 10 minutes earlier. He noticed that. He saw that this substitution was too late. As to the others, if Kruse didn't get injured and everything, and he was all fit and ready for his poker game that evening, then we wouldn't be talking about it, would we? But when the game's gone, having your best player do his leg and be out for 2 months and everything is bitter. It's very, very bitter.
Yeah, it's interesting that Griesbeck substitution was made literally 3 minutes after they scored. Whereas, as you say, if it had been made 10 minutes earlier at half time, we may have seen a game, maybe not. Maybe we would have ended up being beaten by the same scoreline, but we'll never know. And maybe that frustration that our manager has kind of felt from that, maybe that's a good thing. He saw it, maybe he didn't back his own judgment, and maybe next time he'll go with that gut instinct to make the change. Never easy pulling someone off at half time. You might want to give them a bit of a rocket and see if they actually kind of change how they're playing and do maybe what the manager asked them to do. So maybe he wanted to give him that opportunity, but as the scoreline suggests, it certainly didn't work. Last question, kind of on the derby, and it's the Kruse one, going back to it. He's out injured now for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is. What do you think we're going to do formation-wise? Because, I know, you can read a lot of articles. If you read some articles, you would think we're now a kind of one-man team. I think those of us who have seen us over the last couple of games, Kruse has the ability to be exceptionally quiet. and then pop up and do something. So yeah, he's a talent, and we do maybe, and we have relied on him for sure. But where do you see things now, Cherry, in terms of the replacement, the formation? I know this is one of your fields. You like to look at these things.
To put it bluntly, we're fucked. No, that's not what I think. I actually think that Ingvartsen can step in and play a very similar role. Perhaps he's not got the... I mean, Max Kruse, I think he is irreplaceable. He's a special player, but in terms of what he offers and what he brings, we saw on Friday night the assist from Ingvartsen for the goal. Just that little bit of something special that turns games and can... A situation where there's seemingly nothing on can suddenly become a goal-scoring chance in seconds just from a little bit of magic. So Ingvartsen's got that in his locker. Whether he can produce that on the same sort of level that Kruse can do it each week, we'll see. But we have a like-for-like replacement there tactically, I think, who can step in and play sort of between midfield and attack and link the two together. But we are looking light now. We've got, especially up front, we've got Poyanpalo who's going to be out for a while. The toy shirt has shown that he can come on and do bits and pieces, but where he can lead the line, I'm not so sure. So we are a little bit light up front. Awoniyi has done well, but I don't think he can be relied upon in the same way that Kruse can to get goals. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. But on the bench on Friday night, when you look at that, we had Endo to come on. Walter only got 10 minutes, but he's a big attacking threat. Gogia didn't even get on, and Becker barely got, you know, I think 20 minutes or so, if that. So you know, we've still got something up there. But yeah, he's going to be a big miss. But like I said, I think Ingvartsen can step in and do that similar job. So I'm not overly concerned, but it will be nice to get him back as quickly as possible.
Fully agree with the possibility of Ingvartsen coming in. Like him a lot as a player. Also has a similar sort of style as Kruse. Also drifts in and out of the game. As Cherry said, I would have no problem with... for the Bayern game, it'll be probably Prömel and Griesbach sitting in. Then I would have no problem in replacing Kruse with Ingvartsen and Bülter left, Becker right, or Ryerson if you want to go for the more defensive variant. But we are at home and everything, like, why not go for it? And then Awoniyi up front. That would be my idea. The only thing that might go against that is that we're playing against so many good teams coming up. That any change in formation, then it's automatically going to be seen as almost a failure if we don't get results from it. It'll be like, oh, we're missing Kruse so much and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to talk, I think, later on a little bit about the next few games, the upcoming games and everything, and what we can hope to get from them. Let's see and everything. I'd like to see Endo in there as well. Endo, he seems to be a bit of a fragile player. But he might just have that little teeny tiny bit of X factor against certain teams. Let's see. Anyway, that would be. But Ingvartsen, there's going to be a lot on his shoulders. I agree with Cherry there.
We'll go to Kyle, and then maybe everyone can give their views. We've only lost a Hertha with no fans in the stadium. So are we not still Stadtmeister? Before that, though, Kyle, your thoughts?
Like we've mentioned, Ingvartsen seems a pretty ready-made person to go in there and plays a similar style and stuff like that, and we can then free up the kind of left-hand side midfield, attacking midfield role for the likes of Bülter and Endo. So there's no change to the formation, and we can hopefully mitigate the loss of Kruse, because as much as we try and say that it's not like he's not a massive part of the team, it is still a big loss. But we do have quality that we can hopefully mitigate it with. It's just unfortunate that is going to be tested against the two best teams in the country at the moment. Ingvartsen's got 4 assists this season to Kruse's 5, so it's kind of showing that he can contribute in a similar sort of way as Kruse. He's not scored goals, but he's not taking penalties. So it's a big difference there. In terms of being Stadtmeister, well... Rafael Gikovic put it really well on Friday morning, where he pointed out that derbies without fans don't count.
Unequivocal.
We lost. That's it. accept it, move on.
Yeah, the thing is that you're talking to two Oxford fans here who've also suffered a defeat by Swindon in the last 2 weeks. So it's a hard, hard, hard couple of weeks here for us. Be nice to us. Be nice to us. We've lost our Stadtmeister thing as well after so many years.
Well, there's four of us. Two say we lost. Kyle says we're still Stadtmeister. I think I'll join with Kyle and say I look forward to the game next year, and let's hope for the home game. We can get a few fans in that stadium, and let's hope we can retain our rightful title, because whilst we went into the game as underdogs, I think certainly in terms of the amount of money that our neighbours have spent, we were certainly the economic underdog. We didn't put as many flags up around the city as they did. They obviously had a few quid to spare on that as well. But when you look at the table, we're in a healthy position. I certainly take on board the point that Hertha have probably had a few trickier fixtures, and they've certainly acquitted themselves quite well, even though they haven't always got the points in some of those fixtures. We've got some of those to come.
Yeah, no, just so sad to see that taking place in front of an empty stadium and everything. Can we imagine what it would have been like? Union go one up again, like how the away end would have exploded, and then the red card, about how like things would start flying through the air and everything, and then the reaction of the Hertha fans at half time when they realised that their boys weren't pulling their weight and everything, and then ultimately them going 3-1 up and everything. They do get some atmosphere in the stadium at least. But so sad, it's so sad not to have fans to watch this in the stadium. And it really is. Anyway, as you say, home game, at first try, sold out. Well, 1,000 people maybe sold out. Let's see. And let's hope for it.
Indeed. Well, let's move on to the next section. I'll give everyone a little bit of a breather while I ramble on and just look at the fixtures. So, we all know that we're playing Bayern Munich on Saturday. I'm in Portugal now, which is weird. So I'm back on UK time, which actually throws me because it feels like I shouldn't be. But it's the 6:30 evening kickoff in Berlin, Union at home. So we've got that game, and that's very quickly followed by the Tuesday evening away at Stuttgart, and you may say ridiculously followed by a Friday night fixture at home to BVB. So that'll be one where the manager is saying, why aren't we playing maybe Saturday, Sunday? I think the Tuesday, Friday is pretty tough for Union. And then to boot 4 days later, we've got the second round of the Pokal. Bizarre that we're only on the second round on the 22nd of December, obviously, but we're at home to Paderborn. So we've got four interesting fixtures. It'll be a brave person that says we're going to get too many points from those fixtures. But when you look at how we have played sometimes against the bigger sides, last season, for example, I think the obvious one there is how well and the points we took from Dortmund. What's everyone's verdict in these next four games? Very big. And I think, as Cherry also alluded to, there's no winter break this year. So We're very quickly back up and running. I think on the 2nd of January, away to Werder Bremen, which is, I think for those of us in lockdown, with essentially fuck all to do, brilliant. Cherry, what's your thoughts?
I think on paper, of course, it looks like an absolute nightmare of a run, but we're in such strange times at the minute. You've got Bayern playing Saturday, Wednesday in the Champions League. I think they've got Champions League this week, then Union on Saturday, and then you've got the midweek round of Bundesliga fixtures after that as well. So every team is stretched at the minute. We've seen Dortmund struggling to pick up results. I think they drew on the weekend. They lost at home to Köln just before that. It's a strange season. We are weakened by injuries and it's going to be tough, but I wouldn't be surprised if we pick up at least a point from Dortmund and Bayern at home. I think we'd all be pretty happy with that. So, I think each game now is a bit like a mini cup run, really. That's how I think we should be looking at it going into the new year. We've not got much to lose from those two home games, so let's just go out and play without fear. Like we did sort of with the Bayern game after the restart, after the coronavirus break, we weren't overawed. We weren't embarrassed. We were in the game for much of it. And much of that just came down to, you know, this was a very weird situation for both sides. We just went out there and we played on a fairly level playing field with them. So, yeah, like I said, I think a point and progression in the cup from those two games and away at Stuttgart, who are in pretty decent form. That's going to be tough.
They're in good nick. But
yeah, that's like, the one you look at and think you want 3 points from that. But yeah, that's going to be tough. So yeah, let's go out looking for 4 points and cup progression from that. I'll take that.
4 points and cup progression. Kyle, would you take that?
Absolutely, I'd take that. It's a shame that we finally get a home cup tie and no one can go. It is so on your own that happened. It's going to be a tough few games. But like Cherry's saying, yeah, 4 points in a cup run would be superb. Go out and play without fear against Bayern and Dortmund, because they're free hits. We're not looking to win the Bundesliga. Not a chance. But it's a free hit. If we get anything out of those games, fine. I'll take 3 points in a cup run, if I'm honest. Yeah, Stuttgart and Gudnick. But we've shown that we can go there and get a result in the relegation game. So why not? Look, if it comes to it and it's only 1 point and a cup win, that'll do. But I think cup win will be probably most important for me anyways.
Yeah, and sometimes you sort of test a team's mettle with a disappointment like the derby loss. And what better to have Bayern Munich coming to the Alte Försterei? Yeah, there's no fans there, but as people are saying, they're playing midweek, they're playing Saturday, and they've been doing that a lot because of the Champions League. Same with Dortmund, they've got the same structured fixture list as Union. They're playing on the Tuesday night and then they come to our place on the Friday. We've got the home advantage in those two games, and that's the way round you'd want it. Mark, what do you think?
Absolutely, it's a tough one. How does Fischer go about setting the team up against Bayern? Does he go like we're all hoping or thinking that he's going to go and attack and say there's nothing to lose? Or does he start off with a more pragmatic view? Does he start with Riesen, for example, like he did against Hertha, which was the idea to keep it a bit tighter on the right? I'm not sure that a player like Becker, for example, will have such a huge difference or make such a huge influence, rather, against defenders of the quality of Bayern. So there might be an argument there for keeping it tight to start with and looking to hit on the break at home. Ultimately, like if we got a point against Bayern and a point against Dortmund and a point against Stuttgart, then we'd be saying, wow, like we really did well and everything. Whereas you could get hammered against Bayern, hammered against Dortmund. If you beat Stuttgart in the middle game, then we've still got the same amount of points. Depends how you want to set yourself up for. I don't think that Stuttgart have so much there that would shock us and everything. They've got two good strikers. I like the guy, the Silas, the guy who got booked for taking the mickey in front of goal at the weekend. I like him as a player. He's going to be a tough one to look after. But yeah, getting through the cup, that's obviously the easiest, I'll say that, the easiest game of the four, obviously. I keep on going between we're going to win one of the games and we're going to just end up with 2 points and going through in the cup. Yeah, I'd take 4 points. Let's aim for 4 points in the cup as well. Why not? Be optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I say what type of manager Fischer is, I think he's going to look at those fixtures and he's certainly going to look and think, well, okay, we might want to keep it tight for decent periods, but then yeah, if we can exploit with the right substitutions at the right time, if we do keep it tight, can we exploit a bit of? Is there a home advantage these days? I don't know. but maybe there still is at times. So I look at those games and I think the first one is probably in many ways the most crucial. That if you get turned over 4-5, 6-0 in that one, then you probably start looking at the others on the back of the Derby defeat. You then start to think, okay, this is going to be a tough little run in before Christmas, and you start then thinking, oh well, let's just go to Stuttgart and get a point. If we can play well against Bayern, whatever the score, I think it's worth at least at one point in the game. And I think for me, I didn't say much about the Derby, but one thing that I don't care if you've got 10 men, you should be having more than one shot on target, and that's all we had. And I think, yeah, we did have a couple of sort of furrows in their territory, but for me, I think as Cherry, you rightly said, it's pretty weird how things can happen at the moment. You probably see different games in different leagues. Everyone's watching, and certainly the top flight in many countries have thrown up some strange results from time. So we're the outlier. We're Union Berlin, and we're sixth in the Bundesliga after 10 games. When I wrote my Union Berlin Man blog, I always used to say, well, there's no point really looking at the table until 10 games. We're looking at it now. We've got 16 points. I don't think anyone would have put us in sixth place after 10 games. I think after Christmas, there's some tough games. We've got I think Wolfsburg as well after Werder Bremen. They're undefeated. So there's certainly no easy games going to come up, but I think getting back a little bit of that momentum is probably crucial. And I think if you're going to have that momentum, then in some of those games, there has to be spells where we really, really are positive. And I think we should be, because it's not like we're on half the points tally and we're in the bottom sort of five or six and we're worried about the people below us at this stage. That can soon change. But I think we've rightly got into that sixth spot, and I think that gives us a bit of leeway to actually have a go at people, whether it's Bayern, BVB, or whether it's hoping for a good cup run when we can hopefully get back in the stadium as well at some point. Let's hope we can stay in the cup long enough to all see another home cup match, or if not all, at least we can all apply for the lottery. Well, you've been listening to Matushka's Right Peg, an action-packed episode, lots to discuss. Really enjoyed being back in the podcast hot seat. Thanks very much, everyone, for joining us. Kyle, Cherry, Mark, always a pleasure. Let's hope that we're meeting up towards the end of the year, maybe in between Christmas and New Year, and we can review those games that we've just discussed, but also what the end of year has brought to Union. Is it going to be festive cheer, or is it going to be more doom and gloom like some of 2020? There's only one way to find out. We'll keep going. We'll keep supporting Union. We'll keep cheering them on. And yeah, just want to dedicate this episode to our mate Sean. Und niemals vergessen, Eisen Union.